Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's Performance Based Layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with BeastNet here. This week we've got with us Mark from Green Beret Challenge. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, what's up guys? Thanks for having us on.
Right on. And then we've also got Ted, who, well, we all know Ted. So, you know, Ted Kiley, right?
So you got it.
I said it right for the first time.
So, that's a big shocker to everybody.
It is. So, Mark, tell us a little about yourself. Let the audience know, since, I mean, most of us are up here in the Northwest and we haven't seen Green Beret Challenge yet. Let us know about you and Green Beret Challenge.
My background is former Army Ranger and Special Forces Green Beret. In 2012, I was actually teaching out at the Special Forces course at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and I was watching the growth of Warrior Dash off Modern Spartan, and this one day kind of slapped me in the face to create a race, but it was a team-based race, and it was really based on Access Selection, which is probably the ultimate team challenge. So I went to the command and told them what I wanted to do, and they said, yes, go for it. It's awesome. And so I kind of, you know, tailored it a bit for the audience. And I think about 16 weeks later, we launched our first race in 2012.
Nice. That's very cool. So what kind of stuff is in a Green Beret Challenge? I mean, you know, we've all done the Spartan and the terrain and all those, but what can we expect from a Green Beret?
So it's totally different. It's based on a four-person team format, either all male, co-ed, or all female. And the events are comprised of pushing, pulling, carrying things versus tackling man-made obstacles. Although in the future, my intent is to put some man-made obstacles on the course. But presently, you'll see a lot of different types of military equipment on the race course, such as litters and sleds and ammo crates and all kind of crazy shit that I can think up of. And it's a grueling, I call it 8 miles, but there's a little saying, the ballast mile is a little bit longer than the regular mile. sometimes it's 9, sometimes it's 10. I don't know. It just depends on how I feel. But we're really good at finding unique terrain and using terrain to our advantage, and just incorporating just a little glimpse of our background into the race format and give everyone a little bit of taste of what it's like to go through a selection of that magnitude to become a Green Beret.
It's awesome. So, Ted, you talked to Mark a few times. What questions do you have? What do you want to hear about?
Well, I can't remember when I first sent Mark a message just out of the ballpark. He probably thought I was crazy as you know what, but, well, we all know that's true anyway. Yeah, you know, there you go. They don't call me Freak Show for nothing, and now I'm Groot as well.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, Mark, that was me that put that that Spartan Batman post on the Where the Fuck is Groot page.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my alter ego. We need more out here, and I don't think anybody can test that. Everybody was excited when Spartan brought the sprint to the Boise area, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of people. It's worn out its welcome. It's not the most popular venue, and Snohomish, Meadowood, where, you know, Spartan has the Super and then the Beast again in the fall. It's a beautiful venue, but it's wearing itself thin. And we're drooling at all our Facebook friends on the East Coast and in the South doing all these kick-ass events that we can't seem to get a taste of. And we need new blood. Yeah. And Mark, you need new blood.
Yeah, for sure. And you and I have talked at length about this. And obviously I'm a risk taker, so I got no issues packing up the trailer and coming out there. And as you know, our biggest challenge right now is just find a venue that's cost effective and it's awesome terrain. I don't need major mountains. I like variants of terrain, but I don't need to put it on the side of a ski slope. That doesn't make any sense to me. There's no creativity now. So
we're getting to give it a tour. Yeah, honestly, some of us are getting tired of these death marches too that we've been subjected to lately. We just want to run a flipping race.
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly, truth be told, there's no creativity when you put a race on the side of a mountain. I mean, the mountain itself becomes the obstacle, and I get it. Terrain should be the obstacle, but it's how you use that terrain to your advantage, and how you place the various endurance challenges throughout that piece of property. So, I can put something on flat land and make it grueling as I can on the side of a mountain. So terrain is absolutely crucial to us, finding the right venue, finding the right fit, the right partnerships, and making it happen. So everybody listening, if you guys want to help us find a venue, I can promise you we'll pick up our shop and we'll come out there to the West Coast.
Mission accepted.
There's a challenge right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at it. There's a few places that have been used around here in the past that aren't being used anymore that could really be great venues for that. I mean, my biggest thing is like Ted mentioned, the hills. My biggest issue, honestly, around here is with the fact that the lack of hills. I mean, we live in Washington. Where are, you know, well, how are we getting these flat courses that are just like, and I'm a fat guy, I'm a big guy, but I like the hills. I like to be challenged. So, right. You know, and it's one of those, it's so weird around here. It's been a while since it was one of the hills, but I think the best place it would be around here is Yakima. Go to the east.
Oh, no doubt. No
because
doubt.
Yakima, if you've ever been to Yakima, that's where they've got the training. The National Guard trains over there and all sorts of, yeah.
Well, my Ranger and SF brother is training Yakima all the time, so very familiar with it. And that'd be a great place, actually. I don't know if we find a point of contact, I'd gladly reach out to them. I know Ted's been working on some places in Boise. I have a friend who has some property in Boise. Ted's got an up-and-coming location. You know, so the question, I guess the other question lies is, if we go to Boise, do we get, you know, everybody from the Beast organization from Seattle over to Boise, or would you rather have us come to Seattle proper?
I mean, in all reality, I mean, there's enough of us, you could probably do both. But, yeah. I mean, if there was a Boise and we didn't have the option one here, we would travel to Boise to go see it. I mean, you get all the guys from Oregon and here, we all go to Boise for that.
Yeah. You know, so, Mark, too, is, you know, over the course of time that you and I have been chatting online, I have posted your events, your YouTube videos, everything else in so many private groups in both the Western U.S. and Canada, and basically got the online version of a standing ovation, like, oh, hell yeah, build it and we will come. Huge response from the Hurt and Albertans on the Alberta Obstacle Course Racers group, Dan City as well. And it would probably be in your best interest to start out in Washington State because you're going to bring people from both sides of the border. And yeah. not to mention it's a bigger population base too. However, I saw something interesting just this morning. Now, Boise has been in the top five fastest growing metros for 15 straight years now. And now Forbes put out an article just this morning that Boise and Idaho Falls, for whatever reason, that's way out in potato fields, are now both in the top 10 hottest job markets as well, meaning you're looking at more population growth. And whereas what comes with a big population is a certain percentage of crazy idiots that do this, the stuff that we do for fun.
Yeah, sure.
But, generally speaking, I think Seattle area would be your number one best gamble first to get the base established here and then move outward. But, I actually posted some pictures on the Beast page today. I toured a zip line property an hour out of Boise today that just knocked my fucking socks off. The amount of energy that I felt up there, and I haven't been able to run ever since I missed out on OCRWC last year because I turned my ankle into a soccer ball on Mount Rainier at a team campout. I just wanted to run today. I just wanted to get up and go and be a dog. This place is so awesome.
So how about this? What if we build a big-ass obstacle over the Canadian border and we run back and forth between Canada and Washington?
That'd be awesome.
There's some ridiculous.
Building bridges.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. Yeah, that's probably not going to happen, but sounds good. Well, I'm all for it, guys. I mean, I'm glad to come up there. Ted's been telling me, as you just mentioned, such a response that we're getting up there, and that's awesome, and it's great for us, and that helps me make a good decision to come up there. I think the risk is worth the effort, and let's figure out and make it happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm semi-retired. I do commercial job sites when I want to supplement my income, so I got time on my hands, so I'm free. I got lots of time to help.
Fine, you're right.
Like I said earlier about the Yakima area, I mean, I think that'd be a good one because you're kind of in between Boise and Seattle, or you're a little closer to Seattle, but the terrain, and honestly, I've always wanted someone to do a race course out there because I just want to see somebody come to Washington, the Yakima, expecting to get the Seattle weather and get the 110-degree desert that they don't expect to be there.
Bite your tongue, young man.
Who owns that property?
Which one?
By the state or by the government? Yakima.
I think Yakima is owned by the government. I think that it's considered... I think it's considered a base, or not really a base, but a training ground. So it's Army property, I believe.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I can leverage some of my contacts at Fort Lewis and make some contacts and see if that's remotely feasible. Obviously we have to bounce around the military training schedule, but that's something I'll put on my plate is to reach out to First SF Group up there in Fort Lewis. And see who I know. Well, I still know a bunch of dudes up there. Let me see if I can maybe go through the public affairs officer and then track down the base commander and make some inquiries.
Mm-hmm. And the other question is how many people do you usually have in an event?
There you go.
We're averaging around. It really depends on what market we're in. The Southeast, that's our best market. We're averaging 300 to 400. Per event. The word on the street, it's a super hard event, so right off the bat, it scares a bunch of people away. But the really cool statistic about the Green Bear Challenge is we have over 90% return rate. So once we get you on our race course, you're going to come back. It's just a matter of getting over that initial fear of what you hear in the social media about, holy shit, Biles is a crazy man and these courses are insane. Well, that's probably true.
Surviving ballots.
Surviving ballots, that's right. So the fact is everything I do is for a reason. There's a purpose behind absolutely everything that I do. And you do realize that at the end of that race, when you cross the finish line, it all starts to make sense. And, yes, it's difficult. Yes, there's going to be times you probably cuss my name. And I'm cool with that because the person across that finish line is a changed human being, and whether we've affected them in their personal life, we've affected them in their personal or their professional life, or we just affected their outlook on life in general, that's why we do what we do. And that's really...
Uh-oh. We lost somebody.
Yeah, I'm still here. Did we lose Mark?
We lost Mark.
Oh, no!
Hopefully he comes back in a second. I say he obviously hasn't met the beast yet. Because we welcome a challenge. So I think right now we'll have a quick break and have our commercials since we lost Mark, and we'll come back from commercial when Mark comes back.
Yeah.
Gray's Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Gray's Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
Oh, nope.
Hey, I'm back. Yeah.
We missed you.
We did.
Did you bring beer?
I got beer.
Okay.
All right. So, we were talking about, what were we talking about? How many people?
Yeah, so I went on my tangent about how we build better humans and all the awesomeness that agreement challenges.
Yeah. Which the question that I have is, I mean, you haven't met the beast yet. We're a crazy group. This is like a challenge that would be like right up our alley. And I mean, there's 2,000 of us.
That's awesome.
So if you had a race, at what point would you cut it off and say, okay, we can't take anymore, and maybe even do a second day or do another event? Or how would that work? Because, I mean, I honestly, I'm not going to make any guarantees, but, you know, me and Ted were talking, Terrain Race came in here, you know, with like one race, I think, last year, and suddenly they were at five this year in the Pacific Northwest, and all of them made enough money to keep going.
Yeah, so if we got to about 90 to 100 teams in one day, or we saw that happening, we would bump to the next day. I got no problem doing that.
Okay. I just, like I said, I know the beasts, and I know a crazy idea like this, I mean, the beasts are going to, they'll salivate and just run to it. I mean, we love these kind of challenges. We love this kind of, this is what we live for.
Yeah, and it's so different, guys, from anything you've ever seen. Like, people try to replicate what we're doing, but unless you live the life, you really can't. And it's just such a cool, dynamic and different event. And when people do it, they're like, why have we waited so long? Or, holy shit, this thing is like the most awesome thing ever. So, and the other thing is, it's a really nice change from every other weekend doing an OCR, right? So we do the same obstacles all the time, and we run the same events and all that kind of shit. This brings a completely different flavor. You know, you're really not beating your body up. Yes, you're pushing, point carrying things, but doing what your body's meant to do. You're not banging yourself off the walls, you're not falling off a 30-foot rope climbs and shit like that. So it's just a totally different, unique approach to an endurance event.
Because that sounds awesome. I mean, and the one question is there only one event that you do, or is there multiple types?
No.
I mean, is it just kind of, there's the Greenberry Challenge, or is there Greenberry Challenge different things?
When we started, it was just one event, the team challenge. So the company was called Greenberry Challenge. The race was called the Greenberry Challenge. A couple years ago, you know, the Good Idea Fairy said, hey, Mark, you need to start an individual race that draws more people. So we kind of slid into a little more obstacle course centric event. But we still had some of the GBC flavor from the team event. So we started the operator course in 2016. It's roughly a 10K obstacle course with 5 to 6 endurance challenges. Honestly, a little bit lighter, a little bit shorter. We've done well with that. But in 2019, I kind of go back to what got us started. What is our differentiating factor? And what is a Green Beret team really about? And it's really about teamwork. So the focus in 2019 is our team challenge. Although we do have the individual OCR, we have a 12-hour endurance challenge as well, which I would love to bring up there. It's wicked.
And see, that sounds like something. I mean, we have a lot of people in the beast that are endurance guys that do the rocks. They do all the Spartan endurance. They do all that kind of endurance, and they're always looking for another challenge with endurance.
Yep.
I mean, in fact, Spartan, I think it's still the only 24-hour hurricane heat or whatever. The only one they've ever done is here in Seattle. And Seattle, our guys love endurance.
Exactly. That's what you want to use it.
Yeah.
Let's bring Green Bray here and do an endurance challenge here. I mean, the Beast even have, we have our own endurance called the Beast Breaker, and there's another one called Ghost that the Beast put on just, you know, I mean, they're really small, but they're endurance events. I mean, Beasts are all about endurance. So if you got a 12-hour endurance event, I'm sure I can get some Beasts on that one.
Oh, hell yeah.
How many miles do you guys typically do in your endurance challenge?
Well, Ghost was not technically a mileage intensive thing. It was on the Washington coast in the middle of January winter. Even though there's no snow on the ground, it was cold AF. It was kind of like, it was a team challenge, scavenger hunt themed kind of thing, where you could also steal from the other team and whatnot. However, we had to come together as one to haul these big, giant telephone pole size logs up a slimy, muddy hill and back down and build a bridge for the property owner. And nice. it was slick as snot. And cold about 3 in the morning. And then we broke up again into teams again and started thieving from each other again and stuff. And it was a game, and it was awesome. And I can't wait for the next one. And Adam, our fearless leader, invented the whole thing. And I can't wait until it gets bigger. It was so fun. You should come join us.
I love the thieving. I'll be all over that shit.
Yeah. And it makes it fun. You get that team aspect, but at the same time, you got like, okay, we're a team, and we're going to be a team to do this really hard part. But then after that, we're going to go back to getting you again.
So that's kind of a cool dynamic where, you know, you got to play well with others, and then all of a sudden you're out for your own again. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, we had a little challenge where we had to light a fire in the middle of a field and keep it going all night in the rain, and somebody on each team just happened to have a plastic tarp to shield it and whatnot, and I just happened to spot the remnants of a debris fire that the property owner was using that day, and we took big chunks of coals down the hillside across and got our fire going, and the poor other team had to resort to lighting tampons on fire. So that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, battlefield recovery, I love it.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of, you know, I mean, like I said, the Beasts, we're all about that kind of stuff. So I mean, that's kind of our background a little bit. You know, we're definitely into the endurance side, and I mean, I think we'd have a lot of fun and learn a lot from you.
Yeah, we're definitely, that's really our forte, whether it's the Commando Team Challenge, the 12-hour challenge, or you want a 24-hour, no problem. We can do that too. Whatever. You name it, we'll do it.
We definitely got to get you up here. We got to hook you up with Adam and get, like, because, I mean, that would be, you know, and definitely, I think once people hear this episode of the podcast, I would not be surprised to start getting all sorts of, like, info in on, you know, on what we can do for, you know, workouts and stuff like that. And, I mean, for a venue, what do you need? What do we need, like, what would we need to get from someone to get to you?
You know, I can, based on terrain, I can slap this thing on a couple hundred acres, no problem. It's really just comes down to, you know, getting creative with the terrain and course design. But I think 150 probably the minimum. Again, it really depends on the lay of the land, but you find us a couple hundred acres, I can make it work, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah, and the place I toured today is 280 acres.
Okay. Oh, that looks huge. Those photos were awesome.
Cool.
And the videos.
You know, and it's one of those things, it might be, you know, if you can't find a place in Seattle, you do one in Boise, and it might bring, you know, people to look even closer in Seattle. But, I mean, there's a few places here in Seattle that I can talk to some people that I know. I'm in construction, but I might know some people that have some property, but let's see if we can figure something out.
Well, here's the other sell point, guys, is we don't tear up the venue. Like, we're not coming in with heavy equipment and digging water pits and all that other kind of garbage. So when we leave that venue, it's as if we were never there. Other than some foot traffic, we're not tearing up their property. And I know a lot of people that I've spoken to in the past that own venues, like, hey, you know, Tough Mudder came in here and destroyed my property and never came and fixed anything or whatever. I thought to toss Tough Mudder as an example. But, you know, the race companies that dig all that kind of stuff. So we don't do that kind of crap. We're in, we clean up, we leave. It's like we're never there. So if that's a concern when you're talking to anybody, let them know that we're not digging the property, we're not tearing anything up. We're just merely running and walking and hiking across their land.
Nice. So I know you've mentioned the team challenges. What kind of challenges are they? Just trying to give people an idea of what we're, you know, well, what they're looking at here. I mean, you sure. know, I've seen, you know, of course, most guys have the experience of Spartan or whatever. I mean, I know we've talked to, we do a lot of Spartans around here, but yeah, it's most of their experience there. I mean, I've seen them carry huge tires as a team and stuff like that. But I mean, what kind of, but that's usually bringing something in. It sounds like what you're talking about is more using what's there.
No, I'm definitely bringing stuff in. So,
okay.
A lot of our events have a little trademark name, and some of them do come from SF Selection. For example, like we do the Sandman, and the Sandman is basically a military uniform stuffed with sand, and it's either on a sled that you drag or on a sled that you or on a litter that you carry. That's one example of the Sandman. We'll do the Barney Rubble, and it'll be some long pulls, some short pulls, some lashings, probably a heavy barrel of water and a couple tires. And you have to build an apparatus to push, pull, or carry that an unknown distance to the team. We don't tell you what the distance is. We just give you the route. But a lot of it is, a lot of the stuff on the race course is ingenuity. I could probably make a living teaching people how to tie knots. It's probably the funniest shit that I've ever seen in my life is watching people try to tie knots and these apparatuses they build that fall apart and they're pissed off and they're throwing shit and they try to retie it and they can't tie a knot and it's funny. My pro team bought me a GoPro and the rest of my whole GBC team, they bought me a GoPro for my birthday a couple months ago. And I'm gonna start having that on my person when we do the events, because you can't make this shit up. Watching people tie knots is one of the funniest damn things I've ever seen in my life. But that being said, the Barney Rubble, so you have to build like a improvised cart to push, pull, carry. You have the Sandman. We have the Bubba Yaga, which is a series of yokes and sandbags and sleds that you get a push, drag, carry, crawl, whatever. And a couple other signature events that you guys will find out once we come up there.
So it sounds like it's not, like most of the ones that I've seen, I mean, I've heard some of them have a little bit of like where you have to think, but not a lot.
Yep.
And it sounds like yours is, brute strength is not going to get you through it.
Not at all. I mean, it helps that a lot of finesse and being a little bit smarter than the next team. So I always tell people, like, what, you know, how do we train or what can we do to be successful? And, you know, without giving the secret sauce or giving the events away, I'm like, when you come up to an endurance event, look at the equipment that's provided and think about what makes sense from an engineering standpoint or, you know, simple physics. I watch teams take four posts and tie them together, and then instead of putting the weight above their shoulders, they'll put the weight below, and that just sucks you to the ground.
Yeah.
So simple physics, think about what makes sense. If you had to move this from point A to point B, what makes the most sense? Don't be in a hurry. Take your time, think through the problem, build yourself the apparatus that makes sense, and then that's where you're going to make up time on the race course, being efficient and being smart about what you have to build when you have to build it.
That makes sense. So I think this is one that I would really like, that, you know, isn't all about brute strength, and the great athletic guy isn't going to be the one. I mean, they're going to have a little bit of an advantage, but so is the smart guy. The guy's like, oh,
yeah, for sure.
Let's work better, not harder.
Exactly. So. And work smarter than harder. Then, you know, so that, yeah, that brings up another point, is team selection. You're not just looking for the strongest guys but and girls, but who has some sort of engineering background or who has some sort of Boy Scout background or military background. And if you, you know, if you strategically build your team with that thought process, you're going to do really well. You don't have to be the strongest team out there. If you're the smartest team out there, you're going to do really, really well.
Yeah, so you want a team that's a little bit mixed. You know, maybe someone with some strength, another person that, you know, is a little more of an engineering background and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about the team. You never know what that person brings to the table. So those are things that you definitely want to exploit. You know, when stress hits the environment and you're doing an event and people starting to, you know, get a little testy, that's where you start to have the storming, norming, performing phases of team building and leadership. So shit starts going sideways and everybody gets pissed off and wants to choke each other. But if you have an understanding of the dynamics of a team, play on their strengths, and then the other folks that are stronger in one thing will overcome some of the weaknesses of the other team members. So what you're saying is exactly correct. If you have a diverse group of people, it's going to serve you well. You don't need, you know, four freaking Hulks out there because, you know, they're going to slow down at some point in time. So, yeah. You know, endurance is a weird thing. You know, the fast runners may not win by race because that weight will just crush them. But the big, stout, four massive dudes probably aren't going to win either. So endurance is a really tricky thing. It's the ability to move long distances underweight, but it's also having the stamina and the speed the times that you're not underweight. So you're running or the time period between the endurance events is really your recovery time. What you choose to do during that recovery time is entirely up to you. You guys decide to run, you decide to walk, whatever the case may be. So endurance is a really well-rounded athlete that's really good is pretty good in several different areas. He's strong, he's fast, he's, you know, the same for the females. And actually females do really, really well in our race course because they don't sit there and fight amongst each other. They actually think about the problem and they come up with a plan. Where guys just kind of like try to muscle through it. It's really cool to watch. I've had an all-female team beat everybody on my race course one year.
And that doesn't surprise me because I get it that you get a lot of guys, and not to sound bad, but a lot of guys, you get the egos.
Oh, yeah, knuckle
drivers. Yeah, you get the ego of, hey, I've got to be the smartest and the best and all that. It's like, well, you're not. That's why we picked you in the team, because you're the strongest, and he's the smartest, but he's not very strong. And, you know, that's why we have the team as diverse as it is, so that everybody has a place, you know. So, yeah. No, I've seen that, you know, many times, you know, and because I'm usually one of the slowest ones on a course. I'm not that fast, but I'm the one that stays back, and I'll make sure that all the beats finish, that, you know, everybody,
right.
I'll catch anybody who's slowing down, pick them up, and, you know, make sure they finish. I help everyone over the walls. I'm that guy. So
right on.
I like the idea of a team like that where it's, you know, everybody's working together, because that's my style of even doing, you know, any race, is, you know, I'll stop. I know I'm never going to win first, but part of that's going to be because if I get to a wall and I see someone struggling, I'm going to stop and help them.
Right on.
Because that's just who I am, and that's why I love a course like this. It's, you know, you're helping each other. You're working together.
Yeah. Everything's about that, man. You have to... You know, some of the stuff that we said going through our selection process, you have to set aside your own personal misery for the betterment of the team. And if you're mentally able to do that, and not everyone can, but if you're mentally able to do that, that you serve your team well, you serve yourself well, and it, you just really enjoy a really cool experience, something that's so different in this industry.
But, yeah, see, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, drop that personal misery. Don't worry, everybody else is suffering, so who cares, right? So put it aside and, and help your fellow teammate.
Yeah, and I love that idea. And I mean, I've seen that so many times, you know, when in doing races myself. I mean, the longest I've been on a race course was 13 and a half hours.
Wow.
And that was because two of my teammates got hurt. But we decided, well, we're not going to quit. We're just going to keep going. And we're going to get you guys through this. And we kept helping them. And then we caught up to another teammate who had been left behind by a couple other teams and was mentally broken. For 3 miles, she shuffled her feet and giggled. That's it. She didn't talk to us, nothing.
Yep.
Was just mentally broken, but we're like, cool, well, come on, let's go. We're going to get everyone through this. And it was the most rewarding race I've ever had. I mean, it was 13 and a half hours of stuck, but at the end of that race, every beast that showed up to that race finished it.
Cool.
You know,
the cool thing
everyone
about
that got
is,
out on that course finished it.
The thing that I really like about what you just said, you might have not been the first one across the finish line, that you guys were the best team, and you guys had a major victory because you put aside whether it was personal gain, personal misery, or whatever the case may be, and you set aside all that bullshit for your teammates, whether they were your teammates or other teammates. It doesn't matter. The fact is, you know, you guys are helping each other. That's the whole focus of the Greenberry Challenge. That's a community that I've taken a personal interest in building. We're not the biggest race company out there, by no means. We never will be. We don't want to be. I want to have a core group of people that believe in what we do, that want us to come produce a great event for them. I build every race course myself. I'm at every event. I'm on the race course with you. If you're suffering, I'll jump on there and help you. It isn't about the fastest team crossing the finish line. It's about what you do with your team during that event. And that's what makes it so special.
I love that. I love that aspect. I really, after talking to you, I definitely want the Greenberry Challenge up here because that's the aspect that I love about, like, the Beast and, you know, the group that the team that we're on is we have that aspect of, it's not about being the best. It's not about being first. It's not about being the biggest. It's about the team finishing.
Right.
And the
team
getting to their own. Yeah. You know, it always makes you think of when you see what the pictures of, like, Wolfpack, where they put the, you know, they put the oldest out in front. So that's the pace you go. You know, that's what
somebody
I like.
Say old.
Well, yeah, that's we put Ted out in front. But, you know, you make
I'm
sure
all
you
guys
check the team. But you're how old are you?
I just turned 50.
You're a baby. I get my first savings discount this year.
Do I win the prize?
I hit the big 5.5 last month.
Oh, man, you are old, dude.
Old as freaking dirt.
God bless,
man. Discount. Actually, there's a few older. There are a few older on this team, so I'm not the leader of the geriatric AARP crowd, but I'm close.
we'll have to put that on the letter.
And that's the other thing that's great about this team, too, is the fact that you have people all the way from, you know, kids, you know, 13, 14 years old, some even younger, out running these courses to, you know, with the team all the way up to, I think Jenna's dad, John, is in his 70s.
That's awesome.
And he's still out doing it. So, I mean, it's amazing just to see that big of a group. And, I mean, from all different backgrounds, all different ages, and we all get together and just make sure that everyone has a great time and finishes. And that's why I think Green Beret would be a huge fit with us.
That's the most important thing, man. Out there, to have a good time, a little camaraderie, a little fellowship, a little test of wills, a little gut check, and then we go to the house at the end of the day.
So, what other questions did you have, Ted? What did you want to bring up?
How quick can we get it going?
I knew it. I knew it. When's this asshole coming?
No kidding. You know, I when we lost you for a few minutes there, Mark, you know, we were kind of reiterating on the fact that Terrain Race managed to fill four venues in the Northwest this year successfully. They had Eugene, Portland, Olympia. Yeah, five if you count BC. And, you know, we're talking about with you, Yakima versus Seattle and everything. But, hey, why not both?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I think we set forth a challenge. So to all the listeners out there, from you to me, you find us the venue, we're coming, I promise.
This is awesome.
We need to find one. All right.
That is my mission.
Do you have anything in closing, Ted, that you want to ask or say?
Well, I just, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I'm really glad that it escalated to this. I knew when I sent Mark that first message months ago that this could morph into a very good relationship, and it is a good fit for us misfits, yeah, all pun intended. Yeah. I just want to see this go forward. I've been slowly promoting Mark throughout the region, lots of positive response, and let's just watch it snowball. Get this thing going.
I agree.
But, hey, guys, I'm actually working on my 2019 schedule. So as this develops, based on weather patterns and y'all's OCR schedule, what would be a good month for us to take a hard look at coming?
Well, Seattle's got four seasons. You got rainy, you got wet, you got muddy, and you got mucky. Take your pick.
The shittiest.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, in Seattle, I mean, it really depends on what you want. If you want a nasty, wet, rainy, anywhere between December and probably May, which I think, honestly, right now we have very, very few races during that time because of that reason, which for me, I think because of that reason, we should have more. But
right.
The other one is probably, I think we have kind of a whack in like the June time. I mean, we have a few smaller ones at that time, but typically, okay, you know, the bigger ones, you know, Spartan's here in April and, you know, September. Tough Mudder's usually in September, so is Warrior, some of those. Like I said, we have some of the smaller ones, I think, that are like June, July, but nothing that, besides us traveling, you know, to other places, June and July are usually pretty dead, amazingly.
Okay.
That's usually my time when I do normal 5Ks and I don't do a whole lot of mud runs during those 2 months.
So June right now is wide open for us, and other than the first week in July, it's also wide open, and August is wide open for us right now. I haven't really plugged anything in there yet, so we definitely have a window of opportunity that we can make this thing happen from our end. Matter of luck. In fact, you know, I'm so confident in my race development that I don't even need to come up there before. I'll come up like a week and a half in advance. I don't need to see the thing. If you guys say, hey, Marcus is a great place for an 8-mile team challenge, I'll take your word for it, and then I'll be up 10 days prior and I'll build the course.
Yeah. You know, and as far as Boise goes, we get some pretty wicked nasty heat here in the summertime, but that venue I toured is a little bit above that heat line. But generally, the snow is gone by May in that part there. May, early June, or, you know, I posted some beautiful fall color pictures. I think people would be ecstatic to do a race, say, October, early November, because it's kind of a dry spell for the region. People tend to, you know, they need their race fix. They go down to the Sacramento Super early November. Other than that, it's kind of dry up here as far as venues go. So, you know, maybe October would be a great time for Boise.
Yeah.
Do it, guys.
Let's make it happen. So, for all the listeners out there, if you know of a venue, send a message to me or Ted, and we'll make sure that it gets to Mark. or you can send it. I mean, how can we get a hold of you? If someone had a great idea on a venue, where would they reach you?
Guys, I'm totally accessible. You can either send a message to the website, greenbreadchallenge.com, or Mark Ballas on my personal Facebook page, or on the Greenbread Challenge Facebook page. I answer all three, or if you hit us on Instagram, at Greenbread Challenge, it's me answering all those messages. So feel free to reach out. I respond personally to everything, and we'll go from there, guys.
Yeah, and out to everybody there, too. Don't hesitate to contact me as well, because I got free time. Most of my time is spent contemplating remodeling my home, but
on Facebook.
Well, yeah, you know, hey, I'm a multitasker.
Stalker.
You know, the two dyslexics walk into a bra. Anyway, it's pretty easy for me to hop in the car too and travel and check something out for Mark, you know, since he's on the other side of the country. So let's get it going.
Perfect. All right. Anything else you want to have in closing?
Thanks for having us on, guys. This kind of reinforces everything that Ted said to me about y'all's interest in Greenbread Challenge. I really appreciate that. And I will do everything I can to get there. Once we have a venue, we will make it happen.
All right.
We're going to make it happen. We're making it happen.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you for being on. I have a feeling we'll be talking to you again. So, yeah. Perfect. So, thank you, Ted, for putting me on the trail of Mark. And, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens to this and when I get to do that Greenbread Challenge.
Surviving Ballas.
All right.
All right, guys.
All right,
okay,
thanks,
guys. See ya.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.